You can repeat after me. Yasyehavayavairlokan kalpayanti manishinaha katyadibhir ardha sapta saptordham jaghanadibhi yasyehavayavairlokan kalpayanti manishinah katyadibhir adha sapta saptordham jaganadibhi yasyehavayavairlokan kalpayanti manishinah katyadibhir adha sapta saptordham jaganadi bhi lokan kalpayanti manishinah satyadbhirada sapta saptordham jaganadi bhi यस्येहावयवैर्लोकान् कल्पयन्ति मनीषिणः सप्तोऽधं जगनादिभिः
मताजि
यस्येहावयवैर्लोकान् कल्पयन्ति मनीषिणः सप्ताधिभिरध सप्त सप्तोर्धं जगनादिभिः
विल रीड वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पस बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद
यस्य हूज इह इन द यूनिवर्स avyavai by the limbs of the body lokan all the planets kalpayanti imagine manishinah great philosophers kati adi bhi down from the waist adha downwards sapta seven systems sapta urdhvam and seven systems upwards jaghana adi bhi front portion translation great philosophers imagine that the complete planetary systems in the universe are displays of the different upper and lower limbs of the universal body of the lord the word kalpayanti or imagine is significant. The Virat universal form of the absolute is an imagination of the speculative philosophers who are unable to adjust to the eternal two-handed form of Lord Shri Krishna. Although the universal form as imagined by the great philosophers is one of the features of the Lord, it is more or less imaginary. It is said that the seven upper planetary systems are situated above the waist of the universal form, whereas the lower planetary systems are situated below his waist. The idea impressed here is the Supreme Lord is conscious of every part of his body, and nowhere in the creation is there anything beyond his control. ॐ अज्ञान्तिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे हरे कृष्ण यस्य वै वैर लोकान कल्पयन्ति मनीषिणा कट्यादिभिर् अध सप्त सप्तोर्ध्वम जगनादिभि ग्रेट फिलोसोफर्स इमेजिन दैट द कंप्लीट प्लैनेटरी सिस्टम्स इन द यूनिवर्स आर डिस्प्लेज ऑफ द डिफरेंट अपर एंड लोअर लिम्स ऑफ द यूनिवर्सल बॉडी ऑफ द लॉर्ड सो इन दिस चैप्टर एंड रादर आई वुड से इन दिस कैंटो देयर इज अ डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ डिफरेंट एस्पेक्ट्स ऑफ दिस कॉस्मिक क्रिएशन और मैनिफेस्टेशन And for those of us who are reading, have read Srimad Bhagavatam, and we come to this second canto, so the speed of the reading and assimilation becomes a little slow. Because this discussion seems to become too technical. Just like, you know, a few verses back we saw that, you know, how these different elements are getting created with the tanmatras, you know, the different perceptions which are, you know, gained through the senses, and how everything is manifesting in conjunction with the elements. The earth, water, fire, air, space, the sound, and you know, these things appear too technical or difficult to understand. And we know from the Bhagavad Gita that just like in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is something called as Chatushloki Bhagavatam, that four verses which were originally spoken by Lord Krishna or Vishnu to Brahmaji, just the four verses, and from there he expands his understanding, and then we see this whole Srimad Bhagavatam, which is sometimes said to be composed of 18,000 verses. So similarly in the Bhagavad Gita also, the 10th chapter, the Acharyas say that there is Chatushloki, four shlokas, the most important essential shlokas of the Bhagavad Gita. And if anyone understands them, then he's got the essence of the substance of the Bhagavad Gita. And the first verse of that series, which is 10th chapter and 8th verse, 8, 9, 10, 11. So Krishna is saying, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate. Iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. That, you know, everything in the material and the spiritual world is emanation from the Lord and He is the source. Matta sarvam pravartate. Everything manifests from me. Anyone who understands it will worship me with devotion. So, there are two things here. One is the understanding and then the action. So, we know that you know, in this world that now we are living, these present times, there is so much proliferation of data. 15 years back, we did not know that there is a field of professional education called as data science, the science of understanding and using data. You were just concerned about, you know, pen drives, what, how much data they can have. But now we are unimaginable, you know, even nomenclatures of, you know, different ways of understanding what is the quantum of data. So the first computers, they could only process data in KB, right? What we started learning is bytes, kilobytes, megabytes, and then further terabytes. Now, you know, we can't even, like, I don't know at least what are the nomenclatures that are used for describing the quantum of data. But there is so much data. And just having data is not sufficient. You know, how do we understand it in practical terms? So, this Srimad Bhagavatam, the Vedic literature, you know, if we see from this lens, there is so much of data. Even before, you know, this understanding of what data means is coming, you know, to our knowledge or, you know, even in terms of learning. But, you know, one place in one of the purports, Prabhupada describes that, you know, it's just so much of information if it is not put into practice or understood and see how it can be actionable. Then it becomes knowledge. That you know, so there is this whole field of data science. A person, an engineer or, you know, a professional just understands how to use this data in an intelligible way, to translate it into some form of what can be done about it, application. So that becomes knowledge. Then it becomes a knowledge base. And it becomes an intellectual property, which is more valuable than many times a tangible property in terms of land and other material things. But we understand that when that knowledge is actually lived, practiced, and it becomes internalized, it becomes assimilated, then it becomes wisdom or realization. So sometimes there are people who are such data crunchers, but what are we supposed to do with that? So in this verse, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate. Yes, this knowledge is there. But what are we supposed to do? Iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. That understanding this, what would the person do? Surrender unto me. Worship me with great devotion. So that is the purpose. If the purpose is not defined, there is no point in any endeavor. Because it is just mechanically done something. So, the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam, the purpose of, you know, this verse that we are now reading today, about imagination, kalpayanti, what is that? And then the last line of this purport, Prabhupada says, the idea impressed herein is that the Supreme Lord is conscious of every part of His body, and nowhere in the creation is there anything beyond His control. So, you know, this
universe and how it is being described and how it is manifesting and is being maintained. And the understanding is that everything is dependent on the Divine, who Srimad Bhagavatam in very clear terms say is Krishna, manifest as Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshai Vishnu, Shirodakshai Vishnu. Now in this section we are learning that. So for those who are, you know, in India, we think that we know so much. Vishnu, yes, yes. Vishnu's incarnation is Krishna. You know, here when we come to Srimad Bhagavatam and we understand, oh, there is no one Vishnu, there are three. And Krishna is the source of their manifestation. So, you know, it may be confusing if we are stuck to our position. But it is humbling if we just accept that how little do we know. So, you know, the purpose of this is ultimately come to the point of surrender, which is where our difficulty is. This is where our difficulty lies in this world, that we are not actually surrendered. And because we are not surrendered, that's why we are not peaceful. And what helps us to surrender and experience that peace, that is Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatvamam Shantim Ritchati. In the Bhagavad Gita, 5th chapter, last verse, Krishna says this, the formula for ultimate peace. If anyone wants to realize peace, one should understand these three things, that I am not the enjoyer, because I am not the controller or proprietor of anything, including my body. So what to speak of anything else, you know. Sometimes people start claiming, even those who are connected with us, that the person is my property, whether it is husband, wife, children, and I can deal with them in any way they like. Even the body is not our property. So we can't deal with our body also in any way we like. In Chaitanya Charitamrit, Antilila, you know, the chapter 4, Sanatana Goswami, he comes from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri. And on the way, he gets some disease where he develops some sores in the body. And he's feeling so bad about it that, you know, now my body is useless, so what is the point? I'll just give up my body in a very auspicious way by coming under the cart of Jagannath during the Rath Yatra. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and chastises him. How can you destroy someone else's property? So he's like, you know, what are you saying? He says, you know, this desire to commit suicide, you know, is actually wrong. It's not proper because you think that you are, that this body belongs to you. No, it belongs to me. You have surrendered to me. So, you know, Sanatana Goswami is disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he says, I have many purposes to perform through your body, which I cannot do, and you can do, and I want you to do. So how can you destroy this body? So, you know, he chastises him and he says that if this would have been a truth, that by committing suicide you get Krishna, then I would commit hundreds of times. Right? So sometimes, you know, the world that we live in, you know, the reality or, you know, the fact of things like stress, depression, suicidal tendencies is real. And that was many years back also. Right? 500 odd years back, Sanatana Goswami, who is supposed to be so, you know, educated and, you know, realized pure devotee, he is also thinking of committing suicide. So,
these thoughts may come, that is not to be surprised by, but how do we deal with it? How did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu deal with it? Not by blaming or shaming Sanatana Goswami, but by being very empathic, compassionate. He immediately embraced him and he said that, and of course, then, you know, in his own transcendental way, he treated his problem, which was his disease, because of which he was feeling depressed. So, you know, when we come across anyone who is going through that, so rather than blaming or shaming them that, you know, oh, you have done this wrong, why did you drink that water? Who told you? You should have filtered. You don't know. You are knowledgeable of so many shastras. It is said that, you know, if you want to drink water, you should filter it. You should have done that. No. You just, whatever was required, whatever is necessary, we deal with it. But keeping in mind the purpose. So, we can't deal with our body also the way we like. We can't deal with the mind also the way we like. Or we shouldn't. We can. And suffer or, you know, experience whatever happens thereafter. But if we are really understanding, then we would know that, yes, I am not the Bhoktaram. I am not the controller, proprietor or enjoyer of this body. But under superior and compassionate guidance, you know, we should use whatever we have. Because if we don't use, also is not proper. So Sanatana Goswami was thinking that, you know, I will just destroy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted that, no, this, there is a purpose, so use your body, use your intelligence, use your opportunities that you have to serve Krishna. So, it comes to the point of what we do with what we know. Right? Just getting this information and feeling good about it, that yes, oh, now I know so much, is not sufficient. Because, you know, that will later on only become so much of a burden that we carry in our mind. And that burden actually starts affecting us badly. Because we start becoming conscious and expecting that people recognize that, that I know so much. But what are we doing with it? Right? So that is what is important here. So Krishna is saying that, iti matva bhajante mam. So, the purpose of this section where Narad Muni has asked these questions from Brahmaji about creation, and Brahmaji is explaining not just in technical terms that yes, this is how the creation is, you know, coming through the desire and the sound of Krishna's flute, but what is the purpose? Why it is, you know, what it is and how it is being described here now. So if we are clear of this purpose, then much of the, you know, then we are actually in alignment with, you know, the purpose of everything. And, you know, we see that here, these two things are important. One is that Prabhupada is emphasizing that kalpayanti or imagine. So, because, you know, we don't have first-hand experience, or we have, but we are forgetful. So, there are different ways of understanding. So, here, the word used is kalpayanti or imagine, and Prabhupada says that, you know, speculative philosophers. So, you know, to understand some difficult concepts, there are different ways in different means. There is something called as upama, which is one of the important ingredients or ways of understanding, is part of one of the evidences that you compare with something. So that doesn't mean that that thing is what it is being compared to, but it is being used as an example. So we understand that, as Prabhupada is mentioning here, that this is the Virat Roop is a imagination. It's not that Krishna's body or Vishnu's body is like this, that the hair are like clouds, or as is going to be described now, that the bones are like mountains or mountains are bones. It is a comparison to show, and with the purpose of this last line, that Krishna is aware, or the Divine or God is aware of everything in this creation, just like we are aware of whatever is happening in our body. And in the Bhagavad Gita again, Krishna says in the 13th chapter that there are two knowers of the field. The field of action is the body, and there are two knowers of that field. One is the person who is in the body. All of us, we know our body, what's happening. Sometimes we also don't know what is happening. Like, after some years, we suddenly are made aware by some test that, oh, we have some, a lot of blockages in the heart, or some terrible disease. Right? So we don't even know what's happening in the body. But superficially we are aware that I am hungry, I am sleepy, I am thirsty, I am tired, right? Or I am exhausted mentally. But then Krishna says there is another knower of the field, and that is Paramatma, the Super Soul, and that is me, he says. And he is aware of everything happening in every body. So, I am aware of my pain and pleasure. I am not aware of the pain and pleasure of someone else. But Krishna is aware of the pain and pleasure of everyone. So, he is the knower of all the fields of activity. And in the cosmic creation, we see that, this whole cosmos is actually the field of activity of the Lord. So he is aware, because he is all-pervading. And once we have that realization, then for some who are misaligned, it's very scary. That whatever I think, whatever I do, everything is like, there is no privacy. Which is a big thing also now, right? Breach of privacy. But here there is actually absolutely no privacy. Everything is known to Krishna. Huh? And that, sometimes, in a very witting way, some of the, people or, the government in some places, they use it. Wherever there is CCTV cameras, and then they write in Hindi, Upar wala dekh raha hai. Someone is seeing you. Right? So, actually it is a fact. And the fact is that the camera is not outside, it is inside. So, for a person who is misaligned, it is scary. But for a person who is completely aligned, he is so relaxed, he or she would be so relaxed, that I don't have to bother. Whatever is happening with me is already known. And whatever is best for me will happen. So why there is any kind of insecurity? Right? So, this is also a very big problem these days, that people are so insecure, that in that insecurity they do
stupid things. Right? But, you know, it is because we are misaligned. We feel insecure. In the Bhagavad Gita, I think 14th chapter, you know, there are certain qualities that are being described, and, you know, in one of those verses, I think from verse 8 or so, he says, Abhayam Sattva Samshuddhi Jnana Yoga Vyavasthiti. So, in the purport, Prabhupada says, Abhayam means fearlessness, and that is a symptom of a sannyasi, and that comes when he is actually self-realized, he is aware that I am never alone. So when he is traveling, traditionally sannyasis used to be just traveling in forests and going from town to town to share their wisdom. So when he is passing through a, you know, very scary forest, he is not feeling afraid because he is aware that I am not alone, that Paramatma is there with me. Sarvasya chaham ridhi sannivishto, Krishna says, that I am seated within everyone's heart and I am directing the wanderings of everyone. So, you know, because of this misalignment, we are actually feeling insecure. But when we are aware of this, then there is no reason for any kind of, you know, worries. And in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, it is described again in the 13th chapter that to understand the divine, there are different processes. Some people understand through the process of karma by performing different activities, yajnas, different processes of purification, and there are others who realize by cultivation of knowledge, like what we are now reading, that, you know, this universal creation with all these floating planetary systems, it will be described in some verses, you know, later from now, in great detail of all the different divisions of the planetary systems. But, you know, through cultivation of knowledge, which also involves speculative philosophizing. So, that is called as philosophical speculation. So, with the purpose of reaching a conclusion. So, some people, by cultivation of knowledge, they realize the divine. But then, I think 13th chapter, 26th verse, so Krishna says that, but there are others who just by the process of hearing, they achieve perfection. And that is the process of bhakti or devotion, which starts with hearing and chanting. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. So, even if a person sincerely just hears, even if he or she does not understand fully well, technically, but just hears with faith and attention and accepts, then that also leads to perfection and they achieve the same goal. Because the process of bhakti actually is not in isolation of karma or jnana, which, you know, the jnanis, they sometimes, you know, belittle those who are karmis, that see such an attached person, attached to so much of kriya or activities. Or sometimes the karmis may, you know, criticize jnanis that just sitting in the chair and doing nothing and just philosophizing. So, they will say that, you know, just by philosophy your stomach is not going to get full. Then, you know, you have to eat also. So, for eating, you have to work. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that you can't give up action, you have to work even for sustenance of your life. So there is mutual criticism sometimes of jnanis for karmis or karmis for jnanis. And both of them, they combine together and criticize bhaktas or devotees. But actually, if we understand properly, devotion is a synthesis of karma and jnana. That is, with proper understanding of what is the purpose and how everything is manifest and for whose pleasure is this creation made. And, you know, we are here and what is our role. With that understanding, when we perform all actions for the pleasure of the divine, bhoktaram yagya tapasam, right? Whatever action we do is actually is an offering to Krishna. As in the 9th chapter again, Krishna says that yat tapasyasi kaunte tat kurushva mad arpanam, that whatever you do, offer it to me with love. Right? So bhakti is a synthesis of both. We don't give away or belittle jnana nor action. But, you know, whatever we do it consciously, with understanding of why we are doing what we are doing. And that is what we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, sometimes, you know, we can see there are some very critical and heavy statements about, you know, living in the material world, like in the beginning of this second canto. But we should also be aware of the context that this was being spoken to by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj, who had only 7 days. If we hear with that emergency that I don't even know whether I have 7 days, then it could be fine. But, you know, we are also living in this world and we are having a responsibility, and we fairly know that, you know, I am not going tomorrow. So I have some responsibilities and I should be discharging them. Then we can see that, you know, we synthesize these both understandings and act in knowledge with responsibility and also being aware that, you know, what is the purpose of everything. So that when we put this knowledge, this understanding into action, then we can actually, you know, start experiencing the fruits of that realization or wisdom. And then there is no more, you know, the feelings of, you know, being lost or, you know, insecure or, you know, not understanding why am I existing. You know, so which are the causes of so many, you know, mental ailments these days. So Srimad Bhagavatam in that sense is a, you know, very wonderful way of, you know, engaging ourselves in connection with, you know, the purpose of this creation. So we are very fortunate that we have this opportunity. And as Srimad Bhagavatam says, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj says that this process of cultivation of living with the alignment with the purpose of this creation, because we are now discussing of creation, and this has happened and this continues to happen. You know, this creation is not something which is stagnant, but it is dynamic and it is happening every day. You know, so previously the discussion was that, you know, how through sound then all these elements are happening. So it's not that it has just happened once, it is still happening now. You know, first the desire comes that I want to do something, and then a person expresses that desire in terms of giving directions, and then we see that things start manifesting with all the different materials coming together. And as Ramaji had mentioned earlier, till the time these ingredients are not in place, the formation of body cannot take place. So, these ingredients are there and this creation is still happening now. So, when we understand this and align ourselves with the purpose, from when? So, Prahlad Maharaj says, from your early childhood. So, there is a misconception, especially amongst Indians, that ye sab dharm varm ki baatein hain, retirement ke baad. That all this, you know, spiritual life or understanding, you know, should be cultivated when you have already exhausted yourself. So exhausted your body, exhausted your mind. So you can't, you know, assimilate anything at that time. So Prahlad Maharaj says that from your early childhood, you know, we should cultivate so that, you know, it's like, you know, these shastras, they are like Google Maps. You know, so they give a fair idea of, you know, what the path would be like and how much time it could take. And in the beginning of this Bhagavatam, you know, in this chapter itself, in this canto, it was said that varam muhurtam. In one muhurta, a person can actually achieve perfection. So it depends on how we are, you know, wanting to execute this process. So these are like Google Maps, and we take help of Google Map not after 1 hour of our already starting the journey and we are starting to get lost. It's good if you can do that also then. But the best is you check before you start the journey, right? So that's why the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, when Prahlad Maharaj says that Kaumaram Acharit, that you should do from your very early life. So, for whatever, wherever we are now in our life, you know, how many kilometers or, you know, in terms of years we have already travelled, still not late. So, we should take it seriously. We should understand, you know, two things will happen. You know, if we are on the right path till now, so we feel confident. Oh yes, very good. So, you know, I'll just continue. And if we realize that, oh, I have been going in a wrong direction. So we have an opportunity to change the course of our life. And, you know, align ourselves with, you know, the path. So it is beneficial either ways. So I hope that, you know, we all remain conscious and aware of this wonderful opportunity that we have, especially all the college students who are here. So don't think that, you know, this is not for you, this is for your grandfather or grandmother, and you will go from here and tell that, you know, this is what I heard. It is actually for you. And, you know, if you hear it very carefully, you know, you will actually have an edge over others now, and even in your old age, you will have so many things to tell to your grandchildren. Not about your failures, but about, you know, how fortunate you were. So please take this opportunity. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. There is 2 minutes that we have, if anyone has any question, then we can try, attempt.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for the enlightenment. Prabhu, you said that whatever we do is for the pleasure of the Lord. So how we can understand this in our daily lives? When we are working, when we are executing something. So, how to break it down in our daily lives? This understanding of doing anything for the pleasure of the Lord. Thank you.
Yeah, so, you know, when I first joined my workplace, that was many years back, so as soon as I joined, I was given a place to sit. Expected, right, that you should have at least a place to sit and a desk to work on. And then I was given a computer to operate, you know, to work with. And this was the first time that I would be operating a computer. And I was even given access to a laptop those days, you know. Some Japanese brand, Toshiba or something. So, suddenly you start thinking, oh wow, you know, I have so much control. I can do so many things. And, you know, for a person who is very young and you get access to computer those days, or even now, you know, if you get any gadget or anything like that, what is the first tendency? You know, those days I know that, you know, few people in our office who had computers, you know, when we are going to drink water or anything and we pass behind them, what are they doing on the computer? They are sitting in a solitary place playing solitaire. You know solitaire? People know solitaire now because now there are so many advanced things, right? But they are sitting solitary, playing solitaire. Is this what they are paid for in the office? No. And if the boss sees, what will they do? Get lost. Because sitting there, they are having fun for their pleasure. But what is the computer given for? Maybe not for the pleasure we see that, you know, oh, by working like this I am pleasing my boss. But for the service or for fulfilling the desire of, you know, or the purpose of that organization, if not directly to the boss, because sometimes we may not like the boss. Right? So, are iski pleasure ke liye mujhe kaam karna hai? But you don't have a choice. Because ultimately whatever is going to come through is coming through him. So sometimes, you know, in devotional life, we may not like our immediate superior. So what? You know, you don't get people always whom you like in life. But is that person aligned with the purpose? And even if he is not, are you aligned? And you see that yes, you know, at least whatever I am supposed to do in this process, I am doing it, right? Of course, not completely, you know, going in a wrong direction or misalignment that Shastra is saying something and your superior or your guru is saying something else. Then, fit to change your organization. Right? So, you know, by this is practical, isn't it? This is a practical thing, that if you are working for a company, you are working for them, you are not working for you. And by, with more dedication that you work for that organization, the more you get benefited. Right? So, I know some people. Who was that? You know, someone who joined one organization as a shop floor level, at shop floor level, as a some, you know, I don't know, but yeah, some gentleman, he joined some organization as a at a shop floor level, some mechanic. And then rose up to become the chairman of that company. Tata Steel. How is that? Not by politics. Not by any kind of maneuvering. He's just knowing what he is doing properly. And he is fortunate that he also has those kind of superiors who are allowing him the space to come up. and even go beyond them. Right? So I am sure in that organization, who was his immediate superior could have or would have been still at the supervisor level, and he is now the chairman. Or probably not. But, you know, this is how it is. You know, we have to... You know, so when we... Your question directly now, that how are we supposed to do, understand that, you know, everything is for the desire of Krishna. You know, this verse that we were speaking of, Bhukta Rami Yagyatapasam Sarvalok Maheshwaram. What do we have in control? We don't have anything in control. The more we try to control, the more miserable we become. You know? Whether it is people, whether it is situations, whether it is even an organization, the more you try to control, the more, you know, things get out of your control. And the more you try to control again, and the more things become out of your control. Right? So, you know, I was speaking to one great, you know, sadhu, and he was saying that the biggest, you know, challenge, especially in spiritual organizations, is the biggest problem is that people try to control. Right? So, we don't have anything in our control. Our body is not in our control. When the food comes, we lose control immediately. What to eat, what not to eat. So what to speak of anything else? Controlling others, ways they work, the ways they desire, the ways they think, the ways they speak. Absolutely. Try to control yourself first. Right? And that's what Rupa Goswami is saying, that if you try to control these six urges, then you become controller of the whole world. Right? So, you know, when we realize this, then we know that, okay, you know, whatever I am doing, you know, why am I doing? Yes, I please Krishna. Yat karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad juhosi, dadasi, yat. Whatever I am doing, you know, is it something which will actually be serving the purpose of Krishna in this creation? Right? So, this may sound theoretical, but actually, you know, it is the most practical thing if we remain conscious. So we have to remain conscious. So, one time, many years back, in one of the talks, you know, my spiritual teacher, His Holiness Radhanath Swami, was saying, it's one thing to be in the Krishna consciousness movement, and it is another thing to be Krishna conscious. We are not conscious. If we were conscious, then we would always know that, okay, I am breathing because of Krishna. So with every breath, let me, you know, serve. How do we serve? You know, what practical things we do, you know, we see that, yes, we eat. You know, in one devotee's house, we went and they had invited, you know, he had invited, you know, some brahmacharis and Maharaj for lunch. And after the lunch, and Maharaj was thanking the Mataji, and he said, thank you very much for the prasad, and I hope that with this energy, I may serve Krishna. Because you eat prasad, so you get energy. So use it for serving Krishna. We don't think that way, right? Probably we think, I have eaten nice food, now I'll go to sleep. So, this is what being conscious means. And when we are actually conscious of these things, this understanding, then... And only then we get realization. Otherwise it is just data which you are carrying. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, with this we will end. I have exceeded 5 minutes. He says that, you know, then such a person just becomes, you know, carrier of the burden of knowledge. And there are many. I will not say that. There are many who are carrying the burden of knowledge. And if there is someone unfortunate besides them, and if all that burden falls on them, they get trampled. So, you know, this is, I don't know whether it answers your question.
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.